Okay, did you find the book, Sargoth?
Obviously.
Oof. Of course, you
Oh.
opened the random page,
Oh,
remember?
true. Fag balls.
Actually, the balls part was crossed out and it said Sargoth instead. So I'm okay with that.
There.
Yeah, I think this is it. So let's get to it, people. Welcome, people of Earth. This is now Carthritis episode 29. And today we are joined by lovely co-hosts and we're doing a prep talk. It's not post-CDM, it's kind of start of NTSC season conversation, I guess. But there's a live stream coming up with some gimmicks, I guess, and we'll get into that. Anyway, welcome everyone. My name is Sargoth. By my side, the lovely co-host KVD. Say what's up.
Oh, what's up?
Good. Not the sup. Or saw. Jarmu, please. Play nice.
What's up?
Good, good. Okay. And Anti-Star.
What's up?
Okay. We got through it without any sauce. I said it twice.
You're the only one saying so twice so far.
Yeah, I feel ashamed. That's how it goes. Anyway, we're joined here on the back end of a lovely, whatchamacallit, live stream session between Jarmu and Anti-Star. No, not between. Co-op session, actually, with what was the format? NTSC, two-player co-op, all cops.
Yeah, it's NTSC's Strongest Link, also known as Toad
100%.
Percent.
Toad percent, because Toad always wins.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was the first time I was
If you do it
playing.
right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I see. All right, so as per usual, I'll have to start with some kind of question. I'll listen to this. These are the pages of the Book of Carthritis. There's a question in there. It says, please admit to a time you cheated. I don't necessarily mean sexually. I mean, it could be a video game, a poker game, a school exam, whatever. I would like to go first, but the thing is, I've cheated so little and so unimpressively. And except for this very lie right here, I feel like I've never done anything wrong. Okay, so the number one episode I remember was, I mean, this is back in the SAR mega boozer days of 2000 flat, 1999, 2000. And yeah, this is not cheating at all. This is just illegal stuff. Anyway, I cheated the
Okay.
law. So me and a friend climbed on top of the school building where I went to school for like 9 years just to have a cigarette because we were, kids. It's fun to have a cigarette on top of things. And we were having a cigarette, talking some shit. And then we realized, hey, there's a ventilation chimney up here. So we decided to open that and climb inside the school building. This is the middle of Saturday night or some shit. And then the police arrive. So
That's cool.
my friend, who is quite athletic, he jumps down 4 meters from the roof and runs into the forest. And I'm already pretty deep inside the ventilation shaft, so I just decide to cling on inside there for like, I don't know, 12 minutes straight. They open the shaft, the police are flashing the lights down there, and they don't see me because I'm like stuck to the walls far down, and so they leave. I make my way back up, sort of, because I can't get quite up there. My friend climbs back on the roof, helps me out, and then we just go fucking darting around town just to try to avoid the cops. And then I have this brilliant idea. Hey, listen to this. How about we walk towards the school? nobody will expect that we did anything wrong if we're walking towards the area of criminality. And we were immediately picked up and got our ears full. Yeah. That's not exactly cheating, but I never did actually cheat. Not like handkerchief stuff. I didn't lie about my times. I never did stuff like that, but I have bent the law, I guess. Like,
you have only cheated once, man.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean,
so the one thing that is sticking in my head after that little story of yours,
sure,
is that you were actually in a ventilation shaft, and I thought only good guys in movies do that.
Oh, you mean Bruce Willis?
Well, whoever wants to needs an escape out of a building goes into a ventilation shaft. Really.
I mean, I was a good guy. I just curious good guy.
What? Yeah, but people in reality don't actually go into ventilation shafts, or so I thought.
Yeah, I don't adhere to reality. it's possible, but let me tell you, I actually worked with ventilation for a few years after that episode, and there's a lot of very sharp screws inside those shafts. It's not a good place to be. Anyway, that's my little story. Carol, when did you break the law, or cheat, or steal, or whatever?
Well, it's not going to be very impressive at all, but I sometimes take a train without paying, for example.
Mm. You know? Shit, boy. on purpose, or?
Both.
We have a badass here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's not impressive at all. And then otherwise, so at work we have this. So I work in the hospital, right? Research hospital, and we have a what's it called?
Yeah, you have ventilation air shafts. Yeah.
No, more like a supermarket kind of thing that sells sell stuff. And on occasion, let's say one in a more than 100 trips.
Okay.
There is not actually a barcode on the product, and because the store is very busy at lunch, and I go there for lunch every day, I can be asked to get out of the queue because it's a self-scan thing and get a product that actually has a barcode, so I'll just take it. It's their fault for not putting the barcode on. And honestly, that place is very overpriced, so they get enough of my money as it is. I don't feel that bad about it.
All right, hardcore criminal right there.
Yes.
I mean, that's good. It's a mediocre story, but it says good things about your character, I guess.
I mean, I had a very serious one, if we can go there.
Here we go.
It's not a serious crime as much as it is a sort of serious story. In that I was raised religiously, for a while, to placate my parents, I pretended that I was still believing in God. So I was actually cheating both my parents and myself with that.
Right, right. That's a cheat. That's a cheat right there.
So
I've done that too, actually, yeah. All right. When were you last shacked up, Jarmu?
Are you already pushing us to admit publicly that we broke the law?
Well, like, you can choose which one you admit yourself.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I could have like two stories, and you guys are going to pick which one I'm telling.
Okay.
So one of them is when I was like maybe 15, and it involves a group of friends in this youth group that I was doing when I was little, and I already talked about it on Cartwright's, I think, le patro. And the
any
other
Polish
one
guys?
What?
Any Polish guys in that group?
No.
I'm not interested. Okay. Next one.
Come on, Sargo.
Well, and the other one is more like a big gamble, more than a cheat, I would say, but it's when I was a student at the university. So which one? I don't know. I don't know which one you want to hear.
Well, Sampara, me is curious
just vote
about how you gamble.
Yeah, I think I like the gamble story too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unanimous.
Okay, so university time. So we had this this course, and it was called it was erotic literature of 17th and 18th century.
Definitely the good choice.
And yeah. Well, because in the French literature, so in the 17th and 18th century, there were those guys and philosophers called the libertines. And it's not the music group, but it's the guys that that were, you know, writing pamphlets and questioning the people.
I think the Libertines music group was around in the 16th century. They would be quite old by now.
It's my story. Let me make a joke.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So it was a class about those guys, and they were always like questioning the government. And to do so, to make pass their ideas, who were like really against the people in power, they were also writing a lot of pornography. And but in between the intercourse descriptions, they were having chats about how they would just flip over the government and stuff like that. So it's basically literature, like erotic literature of 17th and 18th century. The thing is, I think I skipped almost every class of that, as I skipped almost every class that year. Actually, it was in my first master year.
Who doesn't?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I need to clear something up. This is French literature in the 16th and 17th century?
17th and 18th, yes.
17th and 18th. And this is erotic in nature? So these are the French don't wash years, right?
The what?
Sorry, what did you say?
The what?
Okay, so in Norwegian schools, we learned that the French didn't wash during those centuries. They just moved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's some good porn right there. Yeah. Okay, move on.
I'll just move on. Sorry, my story is always very long. But the point of this exam, the teacher had told us that we had a choice between studying the entire class, and then on the exam day, she would give us like a quote from one of the philosophers, and we would have to like write a mini essay about it for 4 hours or whatever. Or we could prepare ourselves an essay before on a topic that we would have picked ourselves. So since I skipped all the classes, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna like work on my own and bring my my own exposé. I don't know how to say that, but my little TED talk about my topic. And so I do, and I don't remember what I did. Yeah, I did something actually about Madame de Merteuil. Like I wanted to see, I wanted to compare stuff. Well, whatever, it's not important. But I'm doing my little presentation, and it's going quite well. And because I was comparing historic facts with stuff that were reported in literature, because several of these writers had put some sex stories in their novels, but they were not like copying each other, but it was apparently based on historic facts. So I was comparing that. And then I was wondering which was the more powerful character. Well, whatever. I'm sorry. This is not relevant. But so the teacher at some point listens to me, and then she's like, oh, yeah, that's very interesting. And it also reconnects to what we studied in class. So can you tell us what Crébillon says about this? And at this point, I'm like, I have no fucking clue. I don't know who that guy is. And it's going to show, because I never showed up to class and I have no idea. I made all this thing by myself. I did my own research, but I have no idea. And then I'm like, yeah, his theory is interesting, but I didn't think it was making my point very relevant right here. So I just left it away from my essay.
Smart move.
Smart.
I'm like, she's gonna notice. She's gonna notice I just dodged it. Like, and then she's like, all right, fair enough, moving on. And I'm like, holy shit! And
oh, that's a good one.
I ended up with a 16 out of 20, which was my highest note on that entire Christmas session, and probably the highest I had that year. And it was all like a, oh yeah, I know, but no, not interested. Okay. it's more like a gamble rather than a cheat, but I really literally had no idea, and I was like, okay, let's go. And so she chose to believe me.
The morale of the story is just deflect and move on.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'll keep that in mind. 16 out of 20 for a porn story. It sounds good. All right, Mario, you got something for us?
Yeah, of course. I have two different stories to share, so you're going to pick two.
Okay.
You have to choose between something absolutely stupid, illegal, and dangerous that me and a group of four friends did when we were 19.
That sounds any Polish?
And
any Polish?
Yes. And the way...
And Sargoth might be interested if there are Polish guys.
Might.
There were no Polish guys.
Okay.
One of the guys had a Polish sounding name, so maybe all actually right. He was.
I'm intrigued.
And the other story is how I literally robbed Amazon for several hundred euros on purpose, lying to their customer service.
Yeah, so I want a Jeff Bezos robbery, please.
I think so. Amazon robbery is good and juicy.
Yeah.
So you want to know how I stole from the great capital?
Yeah. Okay. Let's hear that. I'll hear the other story of Mike anyway, so...
I'll tell it later anyway. So that was in 2018, and... Well, I was writing some kind of walkthrough for my employer, actually. And since I had some extra hours to get paid, actually, I got paid with a 500 euro Amazon coupon, which was a very, very big amount of money. And that was literally 2 weeks before the Xbox One X was released. So I decided to just buy it because it was kind of free for me. And I ordered it. And 2 days after that, I was not at my job. I was at home. But for some reason, I don't know why, I had it delivered at my workplace. And what is very interesting is my workplace is a very, very big building. There are almost 2,000 people working here. And there are people at the desk, the reception. They just receive all the parcels and they send you an email and say, yeah, we've got a parcel for you. Okay, fine. I was checking my Amazon order, of course, and it said there was an issue. It was delayed. Okay, fine. Day after, I go back to my work, and the guy, when I arrive, say, we have a big parcel for you. Okay, so this can be the Amazon one, because the Amazon one is delayed, and I haven't ordered anything else.
Mm.
So I go check it out, and there is a very, very huge and big parcel, which really, really fits with the size of the Xbox. So I check it. This has my name on it. This is an Amazon parcel. It's very important. I take it. I go to my desk and I check Amazon again, and it still says it's delayed. And worse, there is an issue. We don't know for how many days it's going to be delayed, which is weird because I had the parcel in my hand. So I open the parcel. It's a brand new Xbox One X inside. It's fine. Okay, so I didn't use my own money for it. I received it, and Amazon says it's lost somewhere. Okay, fine. In the middle of the day, Amazon calls me. The customer service calls me. The guy says, "We are sorry we lost your parcel. Do you want to get a refund or do you want us to send a new one?" I literally answered very naturally, "No, I want a refund, please."
A refund, of course.
Sorry. Okay. They refunded 500 euros in Amazon money. So I bought another Xbox that I immediately claimed not to be bought by myself. And I said there was an issue in my account. Somebody did it instead of me. I want you to send it back. And guess what? They refunded the money on my bank account. So I won 500 euros and an Xbox One X by lying to Amazon.
Nice. Well played.
Yeah, Bezos is fucked.
Yep. I was very, very proud of that one because, fuck, it's Amazon. They don't need 100 euros anyway.
Exactly.
True. Do not.
Yeah, so. Oh, and by the way, I also sold the Xbox One X 2 years ago because I upgraded it. I made 200 extra euros by saying it.
All right. Nice.
And I don't know if it's legal, but it's really not honest at all.
I mean,
it's cheating.
They do illegal stuff to their enemies all day long. So,
and they still send me some money through Twitch every month.
It's chaotic. It's loyal. Loyal.
Well, the way I see it, the guy on the phone only gave you two options: refund or resend.
Yeah,
there was not one of the options.
Yeah, he didn't even tell me, did you receive it or not? He told me it's lost. The guy told me it's lost. I could have been honest and say, well, I must tell you the truth. I actually received it. But who the fuck in the world would say that? The guy asked me, what? What do you want to do between a refund or another parcel with the product? No. Of course, you're going to answer the question. And I answer the best possible answer.
No, that's good. I think the whole Earth applauds you for that decision. More or less. All right, so we got the ball rolling here. I actually have an option. I don't like the options. Jarms, Antistar, you're giving options now. I'll give you one too. We'll move on with the episode, do the thing where we talk about SMK, or I'll do a second question, which is quickfire.
I mean, he got a refund. I mean, we can get two questions if it's one of those days.
Yep, it's one of those days. This is unprecedented in Carthritis history.
Spoiled. We are spoiled.
Because this is partially yours. This is partially your blame, Jarms. I have not been fed my necessary dose of Settler 3 randomizer this week. And so, Sober Goth is on vacation. I mean, fuck him until he comes back. So it just so happens, yada, 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 tomorrow I'm getting company, and this is the first time I'm meeting this particular company, and I have one chore I have to do. I have to pick a movie for this first date kind of thing, never met before. So the question is, which movie do I pick?
Shut up. So is it a movie that you're going to watch like at your place or their place? Or is it a movie? Oh, it's not a cinema movie.
My place. No, my place.
Oh.
The French live action of Aladdin.
Shut up!
Would not be my choice. No. Thank you.
I would not recommend this absolute piece of shit. No. Never.
I can do my pick first because when I heard about this opportunity, I immediately picked a movie in my head, and now through the week, as I got drunker and drunker, I have regretted this choice somewhat. And the choice is because this, you know, particular person is of a metal conviction.
Okay.
So I figured I would just play the Mark Wahlberg classic Rockstar movie. So it's Connor in the background. We'll sip some whiskey and some beers and just talk some shit. But is that the good pick for a first, you know, rendezvous?
I need to check. This.
Which one are you thinking about?
It's the 2001 movie.
I need to check the.
Basically, it's a pretty simple rock fan becomes rock star tale. I can't do, you know, romantic comedy.
I don't think I've seen it either. I'm just checking.
Because I've seen it about 50, 55 times.
I'm sorry, what now?
it's the movie I've seen the second most in my entire life, but I haven't seen it for 10 years.
Which one is the first?
Braveheart.
Oh.
I saw it once.
Braveheart also has a metal vibe, if you ask me.
Yeah,
okay.
Why not Braveheart, indeed? I was thinking that.
It's 3 hours, though. It's 2 hour 53 or something.
Oh, the most metal movie ever is Wayne's World.
I was going to say 300.
Of course, and the second one is Wayne's World 2.
I'm gonna put in one more meme option, and then I'll stop.
Yeah, cool.
Biff versus Swatches, the movie.
What?
Okay, so I do have that movie. Yeah. I'm very firmly planning on never playing it again.
Fair.
I thought people forgot about that. Now, Jarms, you're a cultivated woman. You know, how does one impresseth the other sex?
Lol.
Okay.
No chance.
No, because I am. I mean, I'm very clueless when one tries to impress me. And
yeah.
I am the shyest person when I'm trying to impress another lady. So it's just I'm just helpless here. I would say, I mean, picking a movie that you really like and have seen many times, it can be like I don't know if she's going to, or if they're going to like it, but it's kind of a good test. Like if they like the movie that you picked,
yes.
It
yes.
means that you can, that you guys can get along well. So
true, but do I want to do that test though?
I don't know. It's I don't know. It depends on the importance that you like.
How much does that person?
How much do you care about that date? Yeah, but that could be a great test, like showing a movie that you both like, or maybe. And then that could be, if there is a second date, then that person can show you the movie that they watched the most. So,
yeah.
Rather than telling you a movie to pick, which would be according to my taste, I would go for that, I think.
Okay. That's interesting advice. I mean... I mean, the Sargoth stamp doesn't easily rub away. So it's either very, very many more dates or absolutely zero at all. There's only two ways about this. Mm-hmm. So that makes the movie pick seem a bit more, you know. But it has to be a background movie. It can't be like a favorite movie of mine. Like I can't put on an episode of Black Mirror or some shit, which I love. But I can't do that. Mm. It has to be something light, slightly entertaining, preferably musical or metal in nature.
Okay, so if there is also like this kind of feel good movie that you can also watch in back because everyone has seen it, I would also recommend Little Miss Sunshine because it's all also music involved.
That's good. That's a good pick. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
I feel like that's my future life. The Little Miss Sunshine is the beauty pageant movie, right?
Yes.
And I absolutely adore the grandfather in the back seat hopped up on cocaine because it's the end of his life and he just figures, fuck it. This is one of my favorite movie characters of all time. I mean, my other options were Life of Brian. But that demands that she appreciates British humor, I guess.
It's very festive.
Yeah. And the other one was Idiocracy.
Well, actually, if you watch The Life of Brian with somebody who just doesn't understand or appreciate it...
Oh, that's horrible, right?
It doesn't have to continue.
Exactly. And Idiocracy might be a little too depressing at the moment, given the current state of humanity.
Yep, and it's pretty harsh because I don't know what kind of message it actually sends. Come and watch Idiocracy with me. I don't know.
I mean, I only spend time around very dark and disturbed people, so Idiocracy is fine in that sense, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You want a funny movie, metal movie, you should watch Ten Issues D and The Peak of Destiny.
Oh.
It is absolutely dumb, but I think Jack Black is part of it.
Yeah, Jack Black is.
It's funny, it's metal. There is also Dave Grohl who's playing Devil, so I think...
I think that's
pretty good.
Not a bad pick, Mario, because I didn't really like the movie when it was new, but it has everything I kind of need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, when you say I need a metal movie, that's the first one that came to my mind. So.
Yeah, good. Carol, do you have a non-meme pick?
Not really.
Okay, that's it for this segment, boys.
But you know, just about this first date movie story, I have a small story to share.
Good.
Three or four last serious dates I started, I showed the exact same movie to all the girls I was trying to date.
And as a test.
Yeah, because I was like, if you don't hate it or if you laugh at it while watching it with me, I think things can work out between us.
Mm-hmm.
I like
I'm
it.
Sure Carol is probably gonna be able to know which movie this is.
Oh.
Try to guess.
Were you part of the dates, Carol?
Can you ask the question again? This feels like a Mario 86 quiz.
Where's Lafongo?
There's a movie I watched with my four last dates, and which is some kind of hilarious movie on some point, I think. And I just want to see, how far they can go with me by watching that kind of movie. And I'm pretty sure you can guess which movie this is.
The Room.
No.
Good pick.
Is it an actual movie?
Yeah, it is an actual movie, yeah.
It's not 2 hours and a half of Careless Whisper.
No, I was thinking maybe something like Kong Fury, but no.
Oh.
Okay, I'm going to give you a clue, Carol.
Is it Super Mario Bros?
Yeah, it is.
I'm so good.
The 1990 version or whatever it is?
Yeah, the 1993, yes. Of course.
Ouch.
I just realized I actually asked Sharmu, do you want to watch?
Oh shit.
The new movie.
It was just a trailer and it was different movies, so that doesn't count. And I'm happy with my current girlfriend, so you don't have to worry about it.
It's okay.
But yeah, that was actually, I remember the first time I showed the movie to Miku. This was our first weekend together. And I literally asked her, would you be okay to see that movie? And she said, yeah, I heard it sucks, so I want to see how hard it actually sucks.
It's quite hard, right?
In the end, she said, wow, that was even worse than I thought. And I think that 2 years after that, she asked once, I would like to watch this movie again just to remember how bad it is. And she was really, really looking desperate, or 1 hour and 40 minutes long.
It's great because the last time I watched it was during the first lockdown with the Card Kids, actually. We did a watch party on Twitch, and so we were all watching it and in the chat in the same time, all the emails like, oh my god, what is this? And that's a great memory.
And do you know about the moment I tried to make Carol watch the movie? Have I ever shared that story?
Yeah, so the first and last time I watched that movie was in a hotel room with Mario and a Pongo.
You fell asleep after 5 minutes.
And I fell asleep.
it was in
the appropriate course of action, I felt.
Yeah, probably. That was in the Arizona hotel. We had that Karen and Fungo had a hotel room, and they wanted me to go to Arizona with them, so I shared the hotel room the last night. It was in 2020, smack this year. And Lafungo was really, really hyped, excited about the movie. He really wanted to watch it. And guess what? I downloaded the movie with the Avifauna Hotel Wi-Fi.
Perfect.
And we started to watch it. Carol.
That's another time that you broke the law. You downloaded a movie.
Here we go.
In the Avifauna Hotel with their connection in there. But
they are going to have a HADOP email now, thanks to you.
Ah, so I cheat all the time, actually.
Yeah, I guess so.
I didn't even count that in my head, but you're right.
The reaction from Carol and Lafungo was so opposite because Carol fell asleep. I think he was also extremely exhausted. Lafungo was heavily concentrated. He really wanted to fuck with him. He was like, what the fuck is this shit? I want to understand it. He was extremely focused. I think the only time I've seen him more focused was on Super Mario Kart multiplayer final, but he was really deep into it. And at the end, he told me, "What the fuck did we just watch, Mario?"
I must interrupt you. I know one time that Lafungo was more focused, and it was when he watched Twilight.
Twilight.
Oh, exactly. Shade. Okay.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Oh, I'll tell you later. It's a very serious movie.
Get us back on track. I have one non-meme suggestion. Sorry.
Here we go. That's the last one.
And it's just in the same vein, so it just expands the repertoire.
You said non-meme, though.
No, yeah. The School of Rock.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? That was my second immediate thought.
Nice.
Rockstar and School of Rock are kind of hand in hand, but one is adult and one is slightly sub-adult.
Expand your options. It's a little more lighthearted, even.
It's more lighthearted, that's true, but I want it to be deep, dark, and disturbed, so there we go.
Maybe you can turn this into like a movie tournament tomorrow. You write down on papers every title of movie, and then you make them battle. Like Super Mario Bros. Against Idiocracy, who wins, moves on to the final, and then you watch the one that wins.
That's nice.
Super Mario Bros. Should not be in that bracket, by the way.
Where the bottom seed? Loser's bracket or not?
it's interesting because the thing is, I cannot make a perfect choice because I don't have enough information, obviously. So where do I put my marbles? So Life of Brian would be great, but she would have to be British, basically, for that to be a safe bet. Idiocracy is fine if she's very nihilistic, depressed, whatever. And then there's Rockstar, but that's a happy-go-lucky story, but it's metal, and it's kind of dark. So somewhere, but I'll probably go for the live-action Aladdin French cut, yeah.
Oh my god.
Allez.
Anyways, let's move the fuck on and get on to some SMK. It's been 40 minutes and we're ready to talk about Toad Percent.
This was going to be a 1 hour long episode, but
I told you there is no way in hell with Mario, Altisaka Francis, and me to make it a 1 hour podcast. Called it.
I'm gonna throw a little shade. And
shade it.
Sargoth and me were in a voice call while you guys were playing Toad Percent, and he just made the remark, you know, for people playing co-op, they sure talk a lot.
Okay, I don't know what.
It's just an observation
that you were perhaps not only focusing on the game as much.
Of course not. We were entertaining a live stream.
It was the first time I was doing it. Also have to interact with the people in the chat, so...
It was good.
And we are probably the people who love talking the most in the entire community, so...
That's my point right there. Yep, there we go.
It's like why we love live streaming, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's coming up in the funnel of SMK future?
All right, so... I guess I'll take this one because originated the idea. So there is this charity marathon that happens in France every year, and it's been quite a few years already. So it's called Interglitch. It comes from a pun based on a French TV show called Interville, where different cities fight against each other, and so it's Interville.
But it's rigged. Every year the same city wins.
Yeah, but anyway, I loved that show as a kid, but anyway, that's not the point. So Interglitch is a marathon that lasts like 48, 52 hours. And it raises money for the Institute of Brain, so to help the research for brain disease. And so it's really cool. And it takes place in the hospital where the institute is held, actually. So it's really cool, and there is this, so there were submissions and everything. And last year I had the opportunity to go there and to do like a two players GP and TSC speed run. And I was there with MixMew on comms, props. And so, of course, I wanted to go back this year and I wanted to submit Super Mario Kart again. But also I was like, okay, it's good. And we already saw Super Mario Kart last year, but how can we make this funnier and more interesting and more eventful for an event? So so for the people who followed Lafungo and KVD's channel, they used to play a lot of what we call a Toad Percent a lot, which is like a co-op in Super Mario Kart. And it's very against the very core DNA of Super Mario Kart, but yet it exists. So it's a co-op. You're not supposed to throw nanners and shells at each other.
The way we're playing SMK is already against the core principle of the base game. Playing NBT and all those glitches we use.
What's your name now, Narnet?
okay. Fair enough.
So I was like, okay, like a Toad person might be cool to bring there. And then I was like, but we can also do more and create more hype. And we can, if I manage to gather like four players in total, then we can still make it a race, but between two teams playing a co-op. So that was the start of the idea. And so we talked about it during the last evening of CDM. And so we were sitting... both at the restaurant, Mario, yeah. You and I.
Yeah, we are with Neo and Gio.
And Neo and Gio. So it started like this. And then I was thinking about it a bit later. And I was like, okay, I just want my partner to be Layla. Because now she likes GP. She admitted it. So I'm very happy about that. And she's going to destroy everyone. So yeah, it ended up like this. Like my partner being Layla. And then KVD teaming up with Mario. And it's actually very funny because we will have four players of four different nationalities. So that's really cool. So it's going to be KVD and Mario versus Layla and me co-oping to put Toad on the podium.
To make Toad great again.
Yeah. And maybe KVD can explain why Toad goes on the podium because I talked enough already.
Yeah. So that all has to do. So, okay. First of all, I'm very excited to be... this is happening and that we got selected to be in Interglitch. And, I think it'll make for a very nice change of pace to play with Mario rather than him trying to troll me. And I actually fully expect that he will inadvertently troll me anyway, but that'll be funny.
this has to happen at least once, especially if it's not on purpose, but it has to happen. If it doesn't, I will probably be disappointed in the end.
Yeah, well, same.
Of course, but for charity.
Yeah.
So yeah, about the thing that Toad wins. So actually, because this is an RTA speedrun, so real-time speedrun, the in-game times don't really, they don't matter as much as the overall time does. And we already do that in single player speedruns that we do give ups with player two to skip the celebration loop that happens after you finish every race. And because it's a consistent time save every track, or almost every track, it's like 5 seconds per track. So it adds up to quite a bit in real time. And the Toad percent has the added advantage that there's a second player playing, which means that you can even get rid of the game over screen that happens on the fourth track if you consistently give up with the same controller. Because the way it works is that one player can finish 3 races in the cup, and the other player can finish 2 races. And normally, if let's say one player wins 4 and the other player wins 1, then you run out of lives and you go game over at Bowser Castle 1 or at Bowser Castle 2, or basically the fourth track of the cup, you go game over. And the game over animation is around about 5 seconds as well. And on top of that, so that happens 3 cups, or even 4 actually. But on top of that, you actually get an extra give up on the final track of the cup as well, which you don't get if you do it solo. So long story short, it's a significant time gain of like 30 minutes. And the beauty of it, in my opinion, is it's like a happy little accident that this means that even though it's the fastest link, both players need to perform. And there is definitely an advantage to have a sort of balanced team. So I could, for example, I could play with Joe Rando on the street and carry the entire team in the Toad percent. But then theoretically, I would still be slower than if I would pair up with someone else that actually can play the game, because then we skip this whole game over thing and do have an extra give up and everything. So I think that's what makes it cool. And it also incentivizes you to think about, okay, do I finish this track? Do you finish this track? Do I take risk? Do you take risk, etc.? And it really makes it adds a layer of meta to the whole thing that for me is like one of the most exciting things about it. I think that's it.
Yeah. I could add some words to what my new partner said, because yeah, Caro is my partner now. But first of all, I will really, really like thank Sophie for really motivating me for that. Because when she said, would you like, first of all, you asked me if I wanted to comment.
Yeah, because I know you don't really like GP. And at first I was like, well, maybe because it's happening in France, I could ask like Neo and Geo, for example. Oh. But it didn't work that way. And and so I had to persuade you to play.
Yeah, well, actually, it wasn't that hard because performing in GP is something, yeah, I don't usually like. I really don't like Power GP. It is always a pain in the ass to play it every year at CDM and every year at CDM.
I'm going to try yours.
When I'm done with GP, I'm kind of relieved, I think. I hadn't experienced NTSC GP in 3 years, I guess. The last time I did it was in Japan, actually, when I visited Takashi, because I don't exactly remember what we played. I know we played PAL because he wanted to play PAL. I played PAL SMK with a Japanese guy in Japan, which was probably the dumbest thing I've ever done in my SMK life. But we sure played some NTSC GP. But the thing is, I said, yeah, sure, why not? Because NTSC season is open. I want to switch a bit on NTSC because I plan to attend the next ASMKC. And there is a very, very new and interesting challenge here. I've almost experienced everything I wanted when it comes to SMK, either in time trial or in CDM. And I haven't experienced the game a lot on the speedrunning scene. And going cooperative with somebody I respect and care a lot about, such as Carol, is something that really, really, really hypes me a lot. No. You don't have to do that.
No.
Actually, I could have done this with a lot of players because there are a lot course, that I respect, but given how balanced our CDM matchup is, I think Kara is probably the best partner I could have, and especially considering all the banter between us, because for the first time in our lives, and we've been fighting against each other on track for 15 years now, for the first time we have to team up, and this is really, really exciting to become finally partners on track, because we're friends in life, but we've always been rivals on track. And for the first time, we'll have to be friends on track, and I'm really, 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 really sorry, looking forward to it a lot.
It's a shonen arc.
Yeah, true. It's awesome. Yeah.
Well, this is, well, great. Thank you. Well, yeah. I think the other thing that really excites me, actually, and I know it excites you as well, well, both of you, is that this will be the first time that Layla represents Super Mario Kart in a live event, and that's also going to be really cool to be a part of.
Yeah.
I think the over roster is absolutely awesome. It's not because it's boys versus girls. It's just because we have a very...
It's boys versus the queens of SMK.
Yeah. It's the two sore losers of SMK against the queens.
This is how we could present it. I'll allow it.
Well, the last time actually I played against Leila in NTSC GP, I lost to her. So
yeah, you did.
It was funny because when you were explaining earlier that you kind of have a complicated relationship with GP, let's say. I remember a moment from CDM where Aaron was debriefing a match that he played against you. And he said he beat you in a cup and that you missed pretty much all your Zoom starts. And then you were like, of course, you were not happy. And then Aaron said, so was this only this match or has it been happening all day? And you looked at him like, not all day. This has been my entire life.
Yeah, probably. But also, one of the reasons I'm really, really excited by this challenge is it's an NTSC and I really, really enjoy NTSC GP much more than I enjoy it in PAL. Because the Zoom start system is something I really, really got used to much better. And I think this is the...
Hopefully you can teach Carol then.
Perhaps we'll see.
Ooh. No, I'm okay on MTSC Zoom starts, actually.
This is the fastest way to play Super Mario Kart. Super Mario Kart is a very fast game anyway. When you play it, even when you play it in PAL, it looks fast. I mean, it looks much faster than 150 in any 3D MK game. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to MTSC GP, it's fast. It's crazy.
Very fast. It's spectacular. And indeed, I agree. Zoom starts are much, much less of an issue. Point in case, I have won GP a bunch of times, and I don't miss them in speedruns either. So
yeah, but that's very, very interesting because you almost never have time to breathe or relax. You always have to be 100% focused on your driving, and it runs so smoothly. It's really enjoyable. So I don't hate GP that much because there is the NTSC GP. We'll see how it goes in 1 month.
Yeah, some of those words will age well, I'm sure.
It's only 1 month away, actually, yeah.
1 month and...
I should start playing, actually.
People who are listening to us, so it will happen on November 13th, and it's going to be at 12:38, something like that. So it's 11:38 clock time.
Important distinction, yes.
Yeah, very, very important, like the most important of all. So yeah, that's going to be hype, I think, especially because it will happen also on the last day of the charity marathon. So it's always, you know, there is like the start of marathon and then the last bit, and that's going to be super cool.
It's better to be on the last day, because the maximal hype is during the last day.
Yeah. And thank God we'll have time to practice before, because we are not going to meet. Like, I played with you tonight, and so it was good to play 100%, but I'm not actually going to train with Layla until like 2 days before the actual marathon. So we all have to practice on our sides. And
does Layla actually have time to practice at all? Do you know?
I don't really know. Secret? She has her new job, and I also know that that's her private life. So she's going to be busy, to say the least. So I really hope that she can somehow find time.
She just joined us anyway. So.
Yeah,
actually, but she said that she almost or pretty much didn't train for CDM and still
got
seventh in time trial or something. So yeah, she'll be okay.
She played with me when I was there in June, when I was at her place in London in June. But that's it. Then for 6 weeks, she didn't pick up the pad.
I remember watching the two of you playing, and she didn't seem like she hadn't played for ages.
Yeah, no, she hadn't played in over more than 2 years, and she's amazing. She's natural.
Yeah.
We're going to destroy you guys.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear. Who's going to win this shit?
Them.
I'm going to quote Carol and say, the audience.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a quote. All right. I mean, how do you prepare for this? Because it's not like CDM, is it?
No, it's not, but you just... I mean, I guess I will play loops of two players GP, so all the pipes and fish and everything are gone, and then this is the best way.
Yeah, plus it's different from practicing for CDM, because when you practice for CDM, your practice is not exactly the thing you're going to face, because you have no opponent when you play at home.
Right.
And of course you can't practice defending yourself or attacking the other. But when you have to practice for a co-op run, you don't have to care about those attacking, defending things. Yeah. So it's a bit closer to the reality when you practice for a co-op, even if you do it alone.
Agree.
Yeah, true. And I think the most important practice will be actually right before the run at the event, because then you can get the dynamic with your team play.
Just like who, which track is the strongest to who, etc.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Who goes for the long boost on Ghost Valley 3, because you don't want both players removing the tiles and so on.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good point.
Now we have to talk about this a lot with Carol, actually, because we never experienced it before, and I'm absolutely confident Kara and I can work it out pretty easily, because we understand each other. We really can make the right choices, I think. And I think it's going to work really well between us, but it doesn't mean we're going to win, so.
And I know that from playing with Lafango that there's also like a lot of, not a lot, but there is the necessary conversation or communication during your race, actually.
Absolutely.
Like, okay, I dropped the green shell there, or you may want to not take too much risk because you need to win this race to prevent the game over, and so on. It's just like one sentence here and there, too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's going to be interesting also to see which RNG is the strongest between the French NG and the Dutch NG.
No, that's not interesting, no.
Because I really wonder that.
And then we have the Captain Thunderbolt's niece and the Belgian RNG. So
Belgian Eagle, yeah. We'll see about that.
I have a specific question for this very format. Is there any chance between the teams you'll fall back to get a fifth place item on Lab 2 or something? Is that beneficial on like BC2, something like that?
Fifth place, I wouldn't say so, because you also might get a lightning and then you're screwed. You can't use anything anymore.
But then your co-op partner just finishes the race, right?
Yeah, so it's a gamble, but I think it makes you lose too much time. And when you are second to fourth, you can already have like, well, this is where you get the more feathers.
And mushrooms.
And you can also have mushrooms a bit less actually, than if you're fifth, but still.
The advantage of second place items is already so good.
It's bigger than the fifth place items.
This category works so well.
Yep.
And actually in fifth to eighth, you run the risk of getting more stars, which are useless on most tracks. That are detriment on 80% of the tracks.
Word.
You don't want stars, basically.
Yep.
So it's not a valid tactic, I think.
Will you consider, random guess. Will you consider Carol to let Mario play Rainbow Road for the first place? Just because it's a specialty track type thing?
Well, that really depends on the setting. But sure, I mean... he could be the one going aggro on Rainbow Road.
And for you.
Yeah, you guys are really, really good on this.
Sure, but do you plan this type of thing? Or do you just let it happen?
it kind of naturally evolves, I think. But it might be worthwhile to indeed have a general game plan per track. Like, okay, you're the one being aggro and I'm the one being consistent. But then what happens in practice is that, you know, the roles are reversed or whatever. The one that's supposed to be consistent makes a mistake, and then the one that was supposed to go aggro needs to be conservative because they are leading and so on.
But we still have a lot to speak with Carol, actually, because to be honest, both of us have been very lazy since the thing has been announced, because we still haven't made any game plan yet. We have to talk about it, but I'm pretty confident when we practice.
Yeah, this will happen at the event, I think.
Yeah.
It'll work itself out.
We can talk a bit prior to the event, I mean, but of course, during the practice, a lot of things will look pretty obvious to each other, and we'll see.
It's a very interesting format indeed, and I fail to remember a similar thing being done in other games, I think.
In other games, so last year there was a race between three teams actually on Goof Troop.
Game. Goof Troop, all right.
That's amazing. And I plan to do a similar thing on another game for another big French speedrunning event that will happen next spring. But More on that later.
Let's say Goof Troop. That's a game without RNG, as far as I remember.
I don't really remember the RNG being... because the enemies, every time they spawn in the same place.
I think so.
And the puzzles, the riddles are the same every time as well.
So it's execution heavy.
You know which kind of...
Sorry to interrupt, but I actually think that this is a very unique...
That's the impression I'm getting too.
Are co-opable have a built-in co-op mode, that it's the intention to co-op, and here it's not the intention to co-op yet. Co-op provides a benefit which is very unique, I think.
In SMK nothing is the intention, the game just hates people.
But this category, like, it's again, it's a happy little accident that it's faster to play with two fast players.
That is good. That's a good accident.
And, yeah, I don't think there's any other example that I could compare it to. Because there are a lot of co-op runs, of course, but again, that's build up co-op into the game.
Which
is different.
Yeah, because we're literally bringing co-op into a versus game.
Yeah.
Which absolutely makes no sense from our first point of view, but in the end...
Shit!
Yeah.
Okay, so I have to admit something, and this is going to be embarrassing. But I thought Toad Percent, for some reason, Jarmu has lulled me into the sense of thinking Toad Percent means mini characters.
No.
Imagine playing Toad Percent with mini characters.
Hell to the no.
All right. Fair enough.
No, but I know why you thought that is, because the other day I streamed as Mini Peach. But that was because I was doing a submission for something else, and we'll see in the upcoming weeks if it's going to be picked. But I guess I can share that with you guys.
I really hope it does.
I hope too. I hope so too, because I think the incentive can be really funny. So it's because it was the last day for the submissions for AGDQ 2023. So I was like, okay, let's just like make a shitpost submission with like what would be the hardest way to perform SMK to a marathon, because it's going to be online, so it was hard to apply in teams and stuff like that because of the online thing. And I'm like, yeah, let's offer something that's not being done.
This is still online.
Yes.
Okay.
And because they had issues with Florida, I didn't really follow, but and so, I was like, okay, let's do a mini character speedrun. And I suggested that the incentive would be so the audience could like pay to choose the character that I would play. So there would be four teams in Bid War. So to play the brothers or the Quiche or the big guys or the little ones.
Oh, good luck in explaining the meaning of the quiche.
I know, but that's the commentator's job, not mine.
True.
And I think it can be funny, and it can also raise a lot of money because people are going to fight for their character. So yeah, the thing is, it's going to be a mini challenge, and let's see. Well, let's see if it's big, but that's not the point. So this is why you were bamboozled.
Halfway through your explanation, I realized I didn't actually explain why we call it Toad Percent when you pass the ball on to me. I just explained the dynamics of the co-op. But so just to be really short, I can summarize it by, okay, so the player that does well, the human player that does best, gives up twice, wins three races and gives up on the other two. And the other person gives up three times and wins two. And then that means that the second place TPU character gets second on all five tracks and accumulates the most points if you do it well. With the rival system, the CPU's fastest player is always the same player. So, and in this case, if you pick Bowser DK, it'll be Toad. So Toad wins all the cups, except Special Cup, because on Special Cup, you can afford to go game over on the Rainbow Road finish line, because, yeah, the time is at Rainbow Road. So.
Or to both cross the line, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, as I told Sophie earlier, Todd wins the three first cups, so Todd wins 3-1 in the end anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. So yeah, Toad Percent.
So this is a follow-up question from my previous misunderstanding. But how bad would it be to play mini characters for something like this? How much slower are they, really?
I don't know exactly how much slower they are, but if I had to do it, I genuinely think that I would play as Peach and not Bowser. Because, of course, if you get run over, then you're squashed and it's horrible. And this is the reason why Peach is easier to go with, because she accelerates so fast. So it's not that bad when you are destroyed by the sea. It's still super hard, but I think I would go with her. But I don't know exactly how bad is the loss of speed between being big and I think Lafungo would know, or probably Guilherme.
That's 2023 anyway. If the double co-op thing is popular, next time we'll do double mini co-op.
Sure, let's push it. Always push it to the limits, right?
Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
Shut up.
I mean, it's a very good little thing you got going on here, and I hope it's going to be eventful. And I mean, I don't know about SMK in particular, but like Settler 3 Randomizer, you can actually have crowd control, and I think that's the case for SMK as well.
Right. Yes. And we did that during ESA in February with Louis
right.
and Charles.
Yeah, yeah. I would donate all of my dollars. All my Norwegian purchasing power would go towards just random Yoshi eggs or whatever.
I don't remember if... I think I put it as an incentive or a bonus thing that crowd control
good.
Was possible. I think I made the crew... aware of the possibility to play crowd control, but they would have to set that up because I can't do it myself. I was supposed to ask David Moll during CDM, and then of course CDM happened, and I had
It's a pain in the butt to set up. That's all.
Yes.
Sure. I expect
but
so.
But... I also want to remark: if you want to throw random Yoshi eggs through crowd control, you got to talk to Scoop. Because that needs to be an item that is available then. And that's what's happening with Super Mario Kart Deluxe, apparently.
Mm.
Yes.
I got tagged into a tweet that they were editing Yoshi X as a human item. So
I think they were doing a poll about like which item would we want, and some people were voting for poisonous shroom.
No, fuck, it's Bowser's balls all day. Come on, that's all.
Exactly. I agree. I'm going.
I learned something new about that. I didn't know. Of course I knew they moved, but apparently they move in circles.
Yes, I didn't know that either. Yes. Exactly. I had no clue. I thought it was oscillating left and right.
No, they move in circles.
I mean, you can see.
Yeah.
You can see it.
I don't usually stay around to watch them.
No. And as you may have noticed, depth perception is not the strongest thing in Mode 7 graphics.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
So it's not that easy to make it out, actually. Even if you know, you don't see
it. Yeah, of course. I understand why it would be harder to...
I never knew it, and I was not the only one, I can tell you.
Can we quickly talk about what crowd control is?
Sorry?
Can we just quickly, briefly mention what crowd control is? So, I'm not 100% myself, but as far as I know, it's the ability for Twitch chat to interact with the game state.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which means you can donate towards there being a lightning or just random shenanigans.
You can lightning both players. You can lightning player one. You can lightning player two. You can make player two do a feather, do a mushroom.
You can add laps. You can remove laps. You can make the character spin. You can...
Invert controls.
Invert controls. Good. Yeah.
You can also do the... automatic camera thing, which is horrendous.
You can change
the character during the race.
Very important.
You can make the character tiny as well.
Yeah, you can shrink the character. You can, for 5 seconds, you're playing with Koopa, and then someone plays, and so and then it's it's something. I would recommend people to watch the ESA.
Absolutely.
Crowd control video that Lafungo, KVD, and I somehow survived, but it took us like more than an hour to complete the game.
And if I would still be making director cuts of these episodes and Cut Riders episodes, I would just put a picture of our faces at Sargoth's question, can you explain what crowd control is?
Oh, yes! And the post crowd control thing, picture, yeah.
Demolished.
Yeah. Well, that was something. But it's great, and for Super Mario Kart, it's great. Well, and for Zelda Link to the Past, it was something, too, for the... Andy was his name?
Yeah. Villain origin story, right?
The villain origin story, because... Okay, so we have to tell about the... it's another project that I dropped. But Andy was playing Zelda Link to the Past crowd control earlier in the week, and he was... Well, the chat absolutely... trolled him, of course, so it raised a lot of money. So
you got one bastard.
good thing for the Alzheimer Center of Research of Sweden. But then when it was our turn to have crowd control, we could see after when we rewatched it, you can actually see in the chat on the overlay who sends the items. And we could see that Andy was smashing that lightning button. he just brought the storm in our life that evening, and we're like, okay, so we watched the Zelda Link to the Past crowd control back, and we're like, okay, this is the moment when his mind was broken and he decided to become a villain. That was very obvious.
There was definitely some catharsis there.
Yeah.
Meshing that button on his phone.
That's good stuff. Anything else? I mean, we've kind of covered the upcoming event now. Anything else you guys want to touch upon in regards to NTSC season? Which is, you know, PAL season is over, CDM is over. We all switched to the American/Japanese version of the game, God's version.
Brazilian.
Yeah. Any plans? Brazilian?
Yeah, my country is Brazilian. It was a gift from Arlene Carfaria.
Wow.
We actually streamed on the Brazilian cartridge.
Okay.
Anyway, any plans for like pushing something on NTSC this season?
Yeah. Yes. I want to get an NTSC time trial world record back. I don't have anyone more, and it annoys me a lot.
Oh, I see.
I really thought I would keep that Ghost Valley 2 fire lap much, much longer than this, and I didn't defend it because I thought it was really, it would last longer than that. And yeah, it annoys me because I've spent, I think, 12 years with at least one NTSC world record consecutively, and so yeah, I want to get some back. I have only two tracks in mind anyways, and
Rainbow Road and that. GB2.
No, GB2.
Cuba Beach 2.
Yeah.
Cuba Beach 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because my previous world record was driven in November of 2011, something like that. So this is
That's the one in your message board signature, right?
That was, it was not actually the five lap world record. This was the flap world record, was the first top 10 seconds here. But yeah, I used it for a long time in my signature because that was the first sub 10 lap there, and I really liked it. It was
I gotta say, when I saw that, you know, both the signature and the race itself, it seemed like, okay, that's it. That's as fast as this is gonna go. But SNK is always telling me otherwise. So, anyone else plans for? Come again.
Guillermo beat that lap.
Yeah, but he's a flap beast, that one.
Yeah.
And he used a different strat, though, to be fair.
Oh, okay, right.
And then you steal them, and Sammy says that you invented them.
Well, actually, I could steal that strat, but still not beat his time, because the time is insane.
Madness,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Jarms, KVD, plans for NTSC season this time around?
Yeah, I haven't played time trial like for grinding records in maybe more than 2 years, I think, because I've really been into speedrunning GP. So maybe I have to finally cross that graveyard that I am in the players page, because there is a huge.
What's the current rank?
I think I'm 32nd, something like that. And there was really like a huge gap, like maybe 7 or 8 points, even more. Like it's endless.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe I have to finally cross that if I manage to play time trial.
I'll check.
Or
can I just mention the elephant in the room?
Yeah.
The Irish champion that is ahead of me.
Oh yeah, there is that too. Yeah. I'll have to do it in pals, but. I enjoy GP much more than I enjoy Turntable, so it's hard to really get back in the mindset of grinding records, especially because I stream almost every time that I'm playing Super Mario Kart, and I don't think that streaming time trial grinding sessions would be interesting for people. I don't know about that. But the other thing would be maybe to fight for a speedrunning world record on a single cup. In NTSC, even though I think it's
Flower.
Yeah, it would be the logical choice because of the. It would be mirroring the PAL one that I have, but I'm not sure. I'll see. I'll just dive into it. But I already know that Special Cup is almost out of range after that crazy speedrun record that both Neo and Carol played last spring, but. We'll see. Maybe, well, if I can fight, well, at least for PRs, let's not talk about world records there.
Okay,
we'll see.
Fine.
But, improving PRs on speedruns and maybe finally crossing that top 30 mark in time trial. Or even, you know, top better than Irish mark. I don't know, whatever.
I mean, you don't. You're. Skill at the game doesn't deserve a 32nd, so come on, you're easily top 20.
Yeah, but I'm lazy, especially for time trial.
Yeah, I need to recognize the lazy tax, of course.
No, it's really, I really do not enjoy time trial as much as I enjoy GP, so it's really hard to...
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
...to go for it.
Carol, what's your plan?
Well, my plan was...
Thanks.
excellent. You also have the
of course.
Player game.
Of course.
We
should play during practice.
We should play tonight, actually, to see. Oh, that's true.
So I was just gonna play GP for until the event so I can practice for that.
Yeah, fine.
Because
yep.
I just had a sort of an SMK grinding OCD thing off my chest last week, which was the my ending of PAL season, because I needed to, well, I didn't need to, but I wanted to preserve the world record streak that I've been doing, like at least one world record every year since 2004.
Yeah.
So that's 19 years now and counting.
Can't stop now.
And, hmm?
I mean, you can't stop now. 19
yeah, well,
is
I can
never...
stop for 2022, though. Because it's done.
Jesus, of that.
Congrats. Yeah.
So at least until 2023, I can get away with not playing time trial, even though I probably will still play some time trial before. Now that we're on NTSC, there are some tracks that I would like to play, I guess. Well, for example, Aaron has the world record on MC1 and on Rainbow Road 5 Lap, and I kind of don't want him to have them. So those two would be obvious targets.
How good also, is...
You still will have to keep playing time trial, Carol, because at some point you need to be the oldest time trial record holder, so... I don't. When was the last time Sammy did Sammy submit a world record? Actually,
this year he did it on GV3, I think.
He did one this year.
Yeah. Several.
He did.
Okay, so
I'm looking it up
as well. It was crazy.
His most recent world record was from end of January this year. Bowser Castle 3, 129.03 on PAL.
Yeah, so,
oh, yeah.
So this was in January. This is why I was doubting it happened this year.
Ah, okay. Yeah, fair.
Yeah, so Sammy got a world record at 39. Wow.
Oh, he'll get a world record at 42, I'm sure. I mean, he's not stopping.
No.
So, yeah, I'm thinking Rainbow Road or MC1, though. I think if I do MC1... Maybe Nori will get a heart attack.
Yeah.
Because Nori Ishii has been playing for MC1 5 Level Record.
Leave it to Nori.
For
I mean,
4 years, and he tweets about it, about his potential, like 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
For 3 years in a row.
So hard.
He must have played that track for thousands of hours already. At this point.
It's becoming Sami-esque, isn't it?
Oh, it's worse than Sami, I would say, at this point.
Beyond.
Yeah, deserves a record at this point.
Kind of like, okay, let's get him that world record first, and then I'll jump in after maybe. But for now, Aaron has it, so it's still up for grabs, right? And then there's Rainbow Road, but Mario is gonna play Rainbow Road too, so that'll be interesting.
Sure.
Then.
GGs.
Maybe two first.
Ah, okay.
It's much more relaxing. And I think I'll probably waste much less time there than on Rainbow Road.
Makes sense.
Right. Actually, People of Earth, I think we've covered it all. I have one very silly question to end it off. And I fear it's going to be the Leviak of the world to answer this one. I have a cup next to me with some very, very fucking smooth 12-year-old inside. The cup is a Christmas-decorated Zelda cup. There's a picture of Link, and he's holding a single Triforce piece. Which game is this the ending of?
Oh, Link is holding only one Triforce
only
piece?
Only one piece, yep.
It really, really looks like The Adventure of Link. Because at the end of Zelda 3, A Link to the Past, I think there are the three parts of the Triforce that go together. But I think that at the end of The Adventure of Link, is holding a single triangle in his hands.
Remind me, the Adventure of Link is Zelda 2, technically?
Yep, Zelda 2 on NES, yep.
I mean, you might be correct, but this graphic really looks like Zelda 1.
In Zelda 1, you collect the 8 pieces of the Triforce. And at the
But you never hold them together, I guess.
You don't, and actually, can't figure Link holding it, because Link... he gets small triangles at the end of every dungeon, so yeah, he's holding a very small piece of Triforce at the end of them 8 times during the game, so yes, that's from the first game.
So indeed. Confirmed, my Christmas coffee cup filled with whiskey is from Zelda 1. Thank you very much. It's been
You're
a
welcome.
Pleasure. I'm so happy to hear about your future endeavors with SMK NTSC season. It's been great to have you on. And
hey,
I bid
hey,
you,
let me ask you
adieu.
Sorry,
what's happening?
Sorry,
what's up?
I'm interrupting your ending.
Interruption. Here we go.
Yeah. How about your NTSC season, buddy?
No, fuck me. I mean, okay, so at this point in my life, I... there's a story coming, sorry. I bought a cabin out of spite, so now I have a cabin in the Norwegian mountains. I moved all my pre-PS3 gear to the cabin, so my cabin is just filled with everything that came before, help me, 2002?
Yeah.
Something like that. So my Super NT, which is how I play SMK these days, or not play SMK, whichever, is at the cabin. I have set a few personal bests the last couple of visits in NTSC. And I guess my goal will be to, shout outs to David Moll, but to get back inside the... I don't have to press the "you're a bit shit" button to look outside the top 100. So, because I think there was a tweet like a 3 or 4 months ago where I just dropped outside of the top 100. And I figured, I don't need to press that "you're a bit shit" button. I mean, I'm a bit shit, but I don't want to press the button. So I'll play NTSC enough to get 97th. That's my goal. Okay. So that's one track.
Excuse me, so you said the couple of times you were there you already hit PRs. Does that mean
don't say the word. Don't say the word. Fucking hell.
H word.
The H word. No, I mean, I'm sorry. I tried to submit, but my cabin has a spotty internet connection.
Lafunga is coming for you.
I guess so.
I've heard better excuses like this from Terence Fenner, please.
Whoa. That's a low blow right there. I mean, I think I have gained 100 spots on MC2 the last time I was there, which is probably enough for top 100. Who cares? I mean, who the fuck cares about your a bit shitty button players? I like NTSC more than PAL. What's my PAL ranking? Like 77 some shit?
That's...
So I don't care at all, but I like NTSC, so maybe...
Norway here. Oh, what's Norway. That? You're in PAL, you're 71.
71, okay. And NTSC 101.
To Guillerme, shout out.
NTSC, you are. Oh. Okay, 108 AF. So.
108 as fuck. Okay.
It goes beyond the top 100, I think. Oh, you might be 101st, I think.
You could have seen on his.
No, what PR away, as you said.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Also, I talked to Scoob recently, and he wanted me to come back to shortcut mode, which I much prefer, to be honest.
Okay. Oh, so there are people who do that. Okay.
There's two.
Actually,
yeah.
You said you want to go Marius, you said you wanted to become 97th in NTSC.
Yeah, don't...
I think you should try to become 96th, because the person currently ranked 96th is Drew. And that would be an interesting goal to pass Drew in NTSC in time trial.
Yeah, okay, that should be manageable, because he played it once, right? So... Yeah, I'll be able to do that. The thing is, I don't have a controller. I'm completely fucked for controllers.
Fine. So first...
Maybe try to grab one from Ireland when they fly in the sky.
Yeah, I'll figure something out, but I'm not really into SMK in that way. The game brings me much more pain than satisfaction. I guess that's the same for all of you.
True.
In a certain way.
Yeah.
I think all in all, though, it has brought me much more joy than the than pain.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's because I see everything in sepia. Like, it's, you know, when you have a traumatic experience, your brain tends to erase it and make you see everything.
Fair.
Like only the good memories. Fair. Like when you have a heart breakup, you only remember the good times and you forget why you had to dump that person.
Yeah, you know? I hate to do this thing, but SMK to me is all about the people at this point. I fucking hate the game. Yeah. Everyone should hate the game. But yes. the people are more than fine, because you've been to the same trauma, right? So you come from a similar place of pain. So
it's a comfort group at this point. We are just sharing and recovering.
Or Yoshi survivors.
That's it. That's it. So yeah, while I enjoy playing
next time, I guess
I'll enjoy my NTSC season at some point. But I fucking hate the game, unless I'm just playing for fun or playing battle mode against anyone but Jarmu. Anyway, it's been great. It's been real. I'm so happy to have you guys here, and I'll catch you on the flip side.
Bye.